to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more. Welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here, as usual, with my good buddy, N7, the legend, the legendary N7, the legend of all N7s, N7 of Legendarium. Welcome back to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing okay. And fun fact for anyone who's just turning in or tuning into the Lorecast now instead of our earlier episodes, I've had a few name changes. You know, way back in the day, meaning like about a year ago, I was Kung Fu Kangaroo. But then, you know, I realized when we started this Lorecast, maybe I should go back to the online alias I used for a while, N7 Legend. And of course, when I tried to make accounts with that, N7 Legend was already taken. So I should have never changed my name back. But yeah, I had to go with N7 The Legend. So now I'm The Legend.
That's true.
N7 The Legend.
That's but true.
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're here. And hey, man, we've got a full house tonight because we have the second part of a very special episode. What are we talking about today, buddy?
We're going to be discussing the second part of what we started last week, which was the best squadmate loyalty missions. Who has the best one? And maybe who doesn't have the best one? Whose squadmate loyalty mission maybe falls a little short?
Yes, yes. And with us to discuss this, because it is the end of the month, it's the end of October, or as I like to call it, Spooptober, because it is the best of all months. It's spoopy time. We have a host of a considerable group of our patrons gathered together. And I'm just going to go through the order as they are on our screen. We have Turbo Toboggan back with us. Turbo, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Hey.
Turbo's got some red hair. He's ready to talk squad mates, loyalty missions. Welcome back. We also have Lena. Welcome back to the show.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Going good.
And Hool the Fool is back as well. Ooh, Hool the Fool is in the dark void of a room.
I just didn't feel like turning on my living room lights.
I like it. It's very moody in there. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. I'm good. How are you, man?
Good. Doing good. And Sarah is here as well with the cat ears.
As usual. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? And Teacup, welcome back.
Hey.
And Blunter.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Man, this is going to be an exciting episode. So let's just start digging in. I think we should start with Turbo Toboggan here because I know, Turbo, you've only got so much time before you have to head out. So why don't you kick us off, buddy? What do you think about loyalty missions and what's your favorite?
I'm biased to Tally because she's my girl, but trying to think, I really don't have one favorite. I usually have one per game.
Okay.
And stuff. Like my favorite one for Mass Effect 2 is, Legions.
Oh,
Good choice.
Cause just, it's like the thought, like brainwashing or like, The way it makes you think is what I like about it and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And as a recap for everyone, Legion's loyalty mission, I believe in Mass Effect 2, was deciding whether or not to rewrite the heretics or to just destroy them. And the heretics were, of course, the Geth, who were considering the Reapers as gods and following them instead of, basically aligning with the old consensus of the Geth. You could say that it was a cult-like following within the Geth network.
Yeah.
I liked having Legion in Mass Effect 2 as part of my party because I always felt that it was a little bit dangerous, you know, because everybody warned you about him. They're like, I don't know about that guy. And I was like, it's fine. He's cool.
And also you get to freak everyone out by walking around with a Geth.
I know.
Yes. You know, I'm not going to lie. When I first started playing Mass Effect And on my first playthrough of Mass Effect 2, I was much younger, so my general thought process was, oh, hell yeah, badass robot sniper guy. I'm definitely bringing him.
Right?
That was it. Like, I was just like, yeah, that guy's pretty boss. I'm going to bring him along.
Right. And there's part of me that was like, there's no way they're going to give me this guy as a companion and then screw me over. Like, something cool has to happen, right? Right?
I mean, that would have been a total, like, you know, amazing M. Night Shyamalan twist if they did screw you over that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's true. Would have been an amazing, like, I trusted you moment.
That's true. That's true. Let's open this up. Did any of you guys have any expectations that, like, you would go on some sort of quest with him, like maybe even this quest, and things would go south?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's one of the things that is kind of like missing from Mass Effect is like companion betrayal.
Yeah.
Like, there's no companion that really turns on you.
Right. Right. I mean, there are a few that you kind of think might, him yeah. being one of them. I don't know. Who else do you think could potentially, I mean, there's a few that.
Zahid, like if you choose not to go after that guy and you piss him off, like I could picture right then him being so mad. You like, that's not what you said. You're going to help me. So, but then he pulls his gun out and then you have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a few that seem like dangerous enough or kind of, I don't know, shaky enough that you, Jack, maybe? Like, what if you just pick the wrong things enough times and she just kind of goes off the deep end?
Yeah, Jack is a loose cannon, especially before you complete her loyalty mission. Mm-hmm. I feel like her loyalty mission really, I don't know, calms her down, or at least allows her to trust Shepard a little bit more. And understandably so, because, you know, that's Shepard taking a hardline stance against Cerberus in that one.
Right. I think even somebody like Miranda, there's the potential of like, what if the game had led you into a stance that had led you against Cerberus? Like, what if you had taken a hardline stance against Cerberus and then she had to stick to the plan or something? And
yeah,
you know,
yeah. And I wonder if that conversation where you have an argument basically fighting for Miranda's loyalty or Jack's loyalty, does that happen if you're female Shepard? Because I actually never played through Mass Effect 2 as a female Shepard yet. So, oh, it does happen. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's not all about romance then, because, of mm-hmm. course, as a female, you can't romance Miranda or Jack.
Mm-hmm.
No. I would have been so annoyed if they made them fight over a boy. That would have been so dumb. I'm glad they added it for female Shepard, too.
I was, as a female Shepard, I was kind of hoping there was a romance option for one of them, and there just wasn't.
Jack you was know, supposed to be pansexual, actually, but they scrapped that.
I wonder why. it seems like that would have fit with Jack's character. But, you know, I guess happy to hear that it wasn't a romance like dependent event that happened, because it makes far more sense in the lore for that situation to erupt regardless of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Turbo, do you have any other thoughts on Legion?
There is some good things, like you can take him. If you wait through Tali's loyalty mission, you take Legion with you to do the loyalty mission. It does create some waves there.
That's true. Yeah, and in fact, I think if you time it right, there's a very specific sequence of events that you have to do in order to bring Legion with you to Tali's loyalty mission. And it does result in some unique dialogue. Not as much as I would have hoped, but I'm not going to spoil anything when it comes to the exact lines that are delivered. If you're curious but don't want to play through it, they've got tons of YouTube videos on it.
Interesting. Yeah, Switch in Bed says it's the best. So it's probably worth looking up, unless you want to do a whole playthrough just to get to that spot.
Cool. I feel like it's the best way to Tali's companion is when you bring Legion with you. I feel like it adds an extra thing to the whole ordeal that's happening with that companion mission.
Oh yeah, 100%. Anyone else have any comments on Tally or Legion's loyalty missions?
No. All right. Well, let's move on. I think what we'll do is we'll kind of move from one person to the next so that we make sure everybody has time to chime in. And then if we have some time at the end, we'll kind of carry on with some other stuff. So Lena, why don't we move on with you? What do you think? Which companion mission?
Maybe like I wanted to take Tally's. Then I was like, okay, everyone is gonna take Tally's mission because I don't know, it's simply the best mission. Then I wanted to take Thane's. Then I had to like, maybe I'm a little bit biased, I guess, like I don't know, because I romance him, I don't know. So I wanted to take Samara's mission because it's very short. I like that it's basically like non-action based, that you like, I don't know, you as a shepherd, you go into this club, there's very mundane aspects of shepherd going into a club, but of course he or she is not going in there to like party, have a good time. He or she is actually going in there to prevent an added yakshi from like causing more harm than she already did. And I don't know, like I like that you go into this club and you have these little tests that you have to do. Like, for example, you can dance with an Asari and the conversation beforehand is so awkward. I absolutely love it. And you can also, for example, stop a Turian from harassing, sexually harassing, actually, an Asari dancer. And like, quick shout out to the Mass Effect Wiki, because they are calling this kind of behavior soliciting. I very much disagree. This is not soliciting. This is very much harassment. Or you can go into the club and like prevent a journalist from digging deeper into some information. And it's not the Mor and Samara relationship I like about it. It's much like the talking, the little tasks. And I mean, many loyalty missions is just you going on a planet and like shooting the place up. So I appreciate Samara's loyalty mission for being a lot of talking, I guess.
And it's immersive. It's definitely immersive. And I think you really hit the nail on the head with that one, because it's not just about Samara, but those types of missions, I agree, make it feel like, you know, this galaxy, this world, game universe is real, because it introduces these side plot lines that are going on simultaneously as Shepard's life and Shepard's missions are. You know, the whole universe isn't revolving around Shepard's mission, even though it is of galactic significance. You know what I mean? There's other things going on at the same time. So I agree completely there. Does anyone else have any thoughts on that one?
Doesn't seem like it.
Tom, did you ever do Samara's loyalty mission?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I tried to do all of them in Mass Effect 2. So I'm pretty sure I did. But it was a while ago. I'm kind of drawing a blank on what exactly happens in it.
So basically, as a recap for listeners and anyone who's a little fuzzy on the details, from what I remember, Samara's daughter is a Ardat Yakshi, someone who murders people through basically intercourse. When they mind meld, it fries the other person's nervous system. And so they die. And the particularly dangerous thing about Ardat Yakshis is that for some of them, the desire for that power becomes insatiable. So they become a natural serial killer. And it just so happens that one of Samara's daughters is such a serial killer. So the goal is to track her down and bring her to justice quote unquote. That's what Samara calls it, of course. But you do track her down to Omega, to a club in Omega, and basically Shepard plays the bait. Shepard lures her out and pretends to be the target, you know, and then Morinth, Samara's daughter, although that's not her real name, she comes out of, hiding and then, you know, sees Shepard, lures Shepard back to her quarters, you know, and tries to make her move. And you can actually choose between Samara and Morinth, and you can actually recruit Morinth to be on your squad in Mass Effect 2. So you can have an R.Yaxia on your squad. Although, if I remember the statistics right, it's a very rare choice not many people make. And I don't believe that you can recruit Morinth in Mass Effect 3. I think she shows up as a Banshee. It's quite the turn of events there.
Now that you've summarized it. Yeah, and I was not one of the ones who picked Morinth. So, yeah. Man, deadly sex.
Fatal attraction. In Mass Effect.
Literally. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about that one.
Well, Samara's loyalty mission is it's pretty awesome, and it comes full circle in Mass Effect 3 when you meet them on the monastery planet where they basically keep all of the R.Yaxia away from the rest of the world. But yeah, that's Samara's loyalty mission. Hul, how about you? Who's your favorite loyalty mission?
Mine would have to be Mass Effect 3's Garrus one. Because you know for the whole time that like Garrus and Shepard are like best buds or lovers if you're a female Shepard. But if you're the male one, you're like best friends, but you never actually see them like they're the true buddy-buddy in Mass Effect 1 or 2 until Mass Effect 3 when you guys do the shooting competition on the Citadel and he does the line, I'm Garrus Vakarian and this is my favorite spot on the Citadel, blah, 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 making fun of you for all your ads in Mass Effect 2. That actually I felt like showed how good friends they were. Finally, from that scene, you heard about it, but you never actually saw them being buddy buddy. So that'd probably be my favorite loyalty mission.
Yeah, right on. And you know, I actually just played through that one on stream not too long ago, and I didn't realize that it doesn't give you multiple opportunities for Garrus to make the shot instead. And so it's, if you do Renegade option right off the bat and you decide to challenge Garrus, he just drops it there and he's like, okay, why? Fine, you know, whatever. You made the shot. Like, Shepard still reigns.
You actually did the shot? You didn't let him do it himself?
No, I felt like a real dick. I gotta be honest. That's a
dick move. Come on.
Real dick, TM.
I wanted to go back and forth with him a little bit, but he just, like, dropped it right there and I'm like, oh, God, I wish I didn't do that.
That's a comic waiting to be made. Sorry, Garrus. I'm going to take the shot. Real dick trademark.
You make it like a new achievement when you take the shot. Like, boom, boom. Real dick.
Real dick.
100 gamer score.
Real dick move.
True 20, renegade.
20 points.
Yeah, true, you can't renegade. Achieve the perfect ending if you do that.
Yeah, right. You've achieved universal harmony in the galaxy.
Garrus's buddy buddy 1 and 3 is like the completion of the mentor mentee story arc, in my opinion. We get so often, especially for male Shep who's unable to romance Garrus, we get so often this sense that Garrus is the prodigy or the protege, and studies underneath Shepard and is constantly being guided by Shepard's morality, whatever you decide that to be for your Shepard. And it can really take Garrus one of two ways, right? Throughout his loyalty missions, there's 1 and 1, which not many people know about. And then there's 1 and 2, of course. And then there's this 1 and 3. So you can lead him down this destructive path of revenge as your Shepard, or you can instead basically get him to calm down and see the bigger picture and say, take the higher road, you know? And so this final one, I think, is the crucial point at which Garrus can realize his potential or not, and it depends on whether you're willing to let him make that shot, which I did not.
What's his loyalty mission in one?
So there's a doctor who was basically harvesting organs by growing extra organs inside of people. Dr. Hart in Mass Effect 1.
Dr. Hart.
Yes, I know that the pun was really on the nose on that one.
Extra.
On the beak.
Organs.
On the nose holes. And basically, he gets away from the Citadel, and it always bugs Garrus that he got away. So you track him down, and you can allow Garrus to kill him, give him some vigilante justice right there, or you can tell him, you know, let him see the inside of jail for the rest of his life.
Let it go, Garrus. Let it go.
I actually really don't like Garrus's loyalty mission in 2. Because a lot of the loyalty missions in 2... focus on like these familial ties, Jacob and his father, Samara and Morant, you know, Miranda and her father and her sister, like all these familial ties, Tally and her father. And so it's just a really missed opportunity to explore the Vicarian family that they decided to not do that, maybe to give variety. But we know from one that that Garrus's father does not approve of him leaving CSET. So I would have liked something that like dealt with that tension.
Yeah, and they would have had to address it before 3, of course, because in 3, there's the whole dialogue where you find out that Garrus's family is likely in pretty bad danger on Palpatine. So, yeah, it would have had to been decided before then. And I actually agree with Teacup here. I think that Garrus's loyalty mission in 2 was kind of a cop-out. I know that this, you know, I think his name was Sidonis. He needed to be dealt with, right? Because of the betrayal that he gave to Garrus and Garrus's entire squad dying shortly before Shepard meets up with Garrus, aka Archangel in Mass Effect 2. I know that this bugs Garrus and it kills him inside because he feels like, you know, he let the squad down. He's the reason that they died. But the thing is that it feels the way that they executed it in Mass Effect 2, it feels so... like, what is that mission? You know, you run gunning through a warehouse. You get to Harkin, who is still a drunk asshole after the first game. And then you basically wrench it out of Harkin. You can choose to go good cop or bad cop. But either way, you get the info out of Harkin where Sidonis is. And then Garrus sets up a fake meeting with Sidonis, so that Shepard distracts Sidonis while Garrus lines up a shot. It just feels very duplicitous and scummy, you know? It doesn't feel good, in my opinion. Like, that's one loyalty mission where you don't, at least for a Paragon Shep, I don't see how you could go through with it.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. I think the word is... I don't know. I'm losing words tonight. I think that you, no matter what you choose, you're pulling one over on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah, not, exactly.
There's nothing straightforward about it. There's no straight, honest path.
The disappointing thing, too, is that there's no real option before the mission for Shepard to step in and be like, Garrus, hold on. No, this is not right. You know, like this is... you're not going to do this. This is not right. This is not how my squad does things. You know, we're going to, maybe we can arrest him, bring him to justice, but we're not doing this. It feels out of character for Paragon Sheps to go along with it that far until the very end and then have a change of heart. Like, oh, you know, I can't really set up this cold blood murder.
Right.
Yeah. So I see a few of our patrons shaking their heads. Yes. So if anyone agrees and has any other thoughts, let's hear them.
My only other thought about it was with all the external media, like comics, books, I feel like the 2 years that Garrus was Archangel is such a missed opportunity for an expanded storyline, because I mean, I guess that's why we're supposed to excuse his behavior in 2 with the loyalty mission in the first one, where you have the option to let him shoot Dr. Hart. I guess you can say, all right, it's an easy path. 2 years after, you know, he's been living this vigilante Batman life, except killing people, unlike Batman. And like, you know, and then you're like, okay, it's maybe more understandable that now he's at this point where he's willing to just revenge shoot his supposedly best friend, para family member with his squad, you know. But I love what Teacup said. I think it would have been so much more impactful if instead you were mending his relationship with his dad or something, because we know enough about his dad to know that he's like the uptight, perfect cop on the Citadel, and Garrus is a terrible cop. So, like, you know, and then he completely went and became a criminal, at least in his dad's eyes, and it would have been a lot better. It felt really fake. And I exactly what you said, Sam, about you can make him not kill Sidonis, but it feels so weird because you're just like, okay, I'm fine with it. And then he goes to shoot him and you just stand in his way. And then he'll just all of a sudden be like, you know what? You're right. Thank you for not letting me kill him. And it just feels really sudden. And such a bummer, because I love Garrus. I'm sure you all know that by now. So I wish they would have done that a little bit better.
Yeah, it's a total moral of the story type of, you know, change of heart right there at the end, where it's like that didn't seem reasonable that everyone would change their perception on a dime like that just because Shepard refused to get out of the way.
You know what, buddy? I'm glad you stood in front of me and made me rethink my murderous agenda right at the last moment. Thanks for being
showing
my
me
pal.
How much of an ass I am.
Right.
I just feel like, though, if every loyalty quest in Mass Effect 2 was family based, we'd be having a different conversation going, man, everything in Mass Effect 2 is family. Why right. can't we do something else other than mending people's relationships?
Right. Right. And you'd end up with memes on the internet about like family effect.
Yeah.
No. Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Years before. Right.
Yeah, well, you know, with Garrus, they had a few opportunities. I think, of course, it's limitless possibilities because of the writing, but they easily could have done something where Garrus took the hardline approach and was overly punitive to maybe one of the petty criminals that he had come across in those 2 years, and maybe he had to make amends with that. You know, he had to actually ask for forgiveness. I think that would have been a pretty wholesome type of moving character development for him.
Or had made the wrong call and accidentally killed somebody and had to go make reparations to their family.
Exactly.
Or something like that. You know, killed the wrong person, or, you know, who knows? Like, there are a lot of other options you could have gone down.
Yeah, and who knows, you know, if that had been the loyalty mission, what happens after that one? Is Garrus more trigger shy now? Mm-hmm. Is he afraid to pull the trigger too early now?
Right.
That would have been some interesting dynamic development. But yeah. Teacup, I know that you said you didn't like Garrus's mission. Whose mission did you really like?
So I'm torn between two. I like Thane's recruitment mission, just because going up through that's like, from a gameplay wise, that's really fun for me. I really, really like Morden's loyalty mission. I think that as the games go, it really sets up. I think it's one of the best like character arcs that sets up. From the moment you get him, he tells you, oh, I worked on the Genophage, to where you can get him on the end, where you can either have him, you know, repeat history and continue to sabotage the cure, or make the ultimate sacrifice to undo basically what he did. And I just, there's a lot, it just feels like a lot of weight behind that in that story. And I like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was going to wait until the end to say this, but Morden's loyalty mission is probably my favorite as well, because of the massive lore implications that it has. It is probably one of the most lore-heavy missions that there is, if you can compare them that way.
There's a lot of weight behind that, right? There's a lot of, like, oh, he had a lot to do with very important things.
Oh yeah, he, you know, this is a character whose direct actions have impacted the entire galaxy immeasurably. You know, he worked on modifying the genophage. So not only did he work on continuing a forced sterilization program, but he worked on a program where he had to juggle the, like, and kind of suppress the moral, you know, issues that might arise from not just, you know, continuing it, but altering it to make it stay effective because the Krogan DNA was overcoming it. So you have a species that's naturally overcoming a plight so that they can actually give birth at the same, you know, eventually at the same rate that they're supposed to. But this is, it's not like they overcame all of it. It was still hard for them to give birth to live, to have viable births anyway. But Morden actually addresses some of the demons in his past in that mission, and he continues to address them in Mass Effect 3. So yeah, it sets it up for Morden's character development in 3 perfectly.
I was about to say, I think Morden's loyalty mission is one of the only ones that has a direct consequence for the main story mission in the next game too. Like, if you save his data, Eve can live, and you know, if Rex survived also, they can have like a cute, happy little family at the end of the game. And I don't think other than earning the loyalty to ensure the companion's survival, I don't think another loyalty mission has external impact the way that Morden's does.
Tally of Legion would be the only close one.
You're right. That one too.
Yeah, right on. Those three have such massive implications. Absolutely massive. But Blunter, what do you think?
Well, yeah, do you have any thoughts on, hold on, do you have any other thoughts on Morden? Because we got to take a break and thank our patrons before we go on with the rest of you guys, because we've got Blunter back. Mid-break. Blunter, and then we also have Sovereign, who's snuck in and is on voice only and is sneaking around in the vents. Do you have any thoughts on Morden before we move on to our middle of the show break?
Yeah, I mean, kind of just everyone else's sentiment on it. Like, it's obviously huge in terms of the lore, and, you know, watching Morden slowly over the course of those 2 games kind of realize that, like, oh, wow, maybe this wasn't the right thing to do. Because if I remember correctly, you know, when you first meet him in Mass Effect 2, he's still fairly confident he's done the right thing. He said, no, you don't understand. We had to do it. And then, you know, by his loyalty mission in Mass Effect 3, you know, he's come full circle and gone, you know what? No, like, I did this. I'm the one that's got to fix it too.
Character development. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Sam just made an exploding brain motion. For those of you who are listening and can't see hand motions. Yeah. Good point.
Lighting. Boom.
Yeah. Solid point. Yeah, interesting one. Well, here, let's take a break and let's go thank our patrons, including you guys, and we'll be right back with more about loyalty missions.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am Sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, 2 former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart, and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. 2 men. 1 wasteland. and so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R. Now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.
For some reason, that always cracks me up. Welcome to the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank you guys right here and all 41 of our patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Sam and I very much appreciate it. You help us do this every single week, and we can't say thank you enough. So I guess thank you times 100 billion times. This is also the part of the show where we get to call out our Shepherd tier patrons. So that includes Blaze Freezer, Pipe Man, Sovereign, and Stagger and Stumble. Thank you so much for supporting the show at that tier where you get called out every time. And also thank you to all of our N7 operatives who also can join us at the end of every month, including these guys and all 41 of our other patrons. And if we have done anything to help you get through your work day, your workouts, your driving to work, or gorging on all the candy you got for Halloween, because when you're eating all that candy, you got to do something with your ears. So you're putting in those podcasts in those ear holes, then, you know, maybe go over to patreon.com/Mass Effect Lorecast and check out all the different tiers and all the different things you can get, including t-shirts, because those are available too now, and stickers, and go take a look because there's some there for you guys, only for patrons. Never going to see them anywhere else. And once they're off the Patreon, because they're going to cycle through each of those shirts that you're going to see on there, then they will never be anywhere else. And there'll be some new shirts on there, and then those are going to cycle through. So make sure you get them while they're up there. And just go take a look. See if you think there's anything you guys want. And that's all I got to say for today. That's it. So why don't we move on with the rest of the show? Because we got more stuff to talk to these guys about. So here we go.
Spit it out. Or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
I don't actually recommend spending large amounts of time eating lots of candy. That's probably really bad for your health.
Yeah, I mean, you could also just fill the time avoiding family time with our lore cast if you wanted, you know?
Could do that.
Let's say the in-laws are in town and you need to drown out some noise.
You could tell them, hey, I ate too much candy. I need to go to the bathroom for about an hour and 10 minutes or however long the episode happens to be that week, and just put in your earphones and just like hang out in the bathroom for an hour.
I gotta be honest, if I was in the bathroom for an hour and a half, I don't think people would think I was listening to a podcast.
What would they think you're doing, Sam?
Suggestive things, unspeakable things.
Like what, things, Sam?
Things that were really only made graphic in the fourth iteration of Mass Effect, Mass Effect Andromeda.
What things take you an hour and a half to do in a bathroom, Sam?
Oh, you know, look for Presidium fish.
Wait, you have fish in your bathroom? I'm going to keep on pushing this until it gets more and more awkward.
He's going
right, to...
I really think we should. There's so many different places we could take this. I think we all want to see.
Yeah. Let's just keep on... Right here. Let's just keep coming.
This episode is called Make N7 Squirm.
Yes. Well, hey, man, you brought it here. You brought it here. I'm just making sure we go all the way to the end of this... of the section before we move on to the next one. But okay, fine, we'll move on. So Blunter, I think it was your turn. What would you do in the bathroom for an hour? No, okay, we're not in that. I'm sorry, no, we're not going back there,
sir.
Let's talk.
I know what I would do. I would join a podcast and a Patreon only podcast.
It would be very echoey though, so I hope that you're the person singing on the podcast, because you'd have some really nice natural acoustics going on in the bathroom. So anyway, Blunter, which quest are we talking about with you? What do you think?
You know what? I really liked Kasumi's actually in Mass Effect 2. I actually only played through it for the first time actually when I did the Legendary Edition playthrough. I played through Mass Effect 2 a ton, but I always just kind of like you know, grabbed it out of the box, physical disc, and I had just never really gotten a bunch of DLC for it. So yeah, it was kind of awesome to kind of get semi new content, at least to me, in the Legendary Edition. And yeah, I kind of just enjoyed the change of pace. Like a couple of people have mentioned that a lot of the loyalty missions are just like complete running guns, which is great. But I like Kasumi's as well, because it's kind of like the heist, right? Like you got to find things, there's timers, like there's that weird art gallery in the basement that's super creepy. Yeah, I just kind of like change of pace. And like I said, I only got to play through it for the first time a couple months ago.
Nice. N7? I feel like N7 usually chimes in here, so I'm leaving space.
Sorry, I was active in chat for a little bit, but yeah, I agree. And you know, I've been thinking about which ones I haven't liked, and it's actually been pretty tough for me to decide on which squad mate loyalty mission was the best. I already said that I liked Morden's squadmate loyalty mission, but all the ones that stood out to me, and perhaps because I was only thinking about Mass Effect 2, all the ones that stood out to me were ones that I didn't like. Prime example, and I was going to type this in chat, but prime example is Miranda's loyalty mission. Maybe it makes me sound like a typical, you know, insensitive, detached gamer, right? But who cares?
Bro gamer?
But, well, honestly, you know, with Miranda's loyalty mission, who cares? Like, this is a family issue. Why is Shepard involved in this? Like, this is something that you should deal with your family. Like, call social services. What the hell?
There are better people to deal with this than Commander Shepard, who is trying to save the galaxy. Is that what you have to say about this?
He is not a licensed social worker. He's a lot of things. He can survive in the harshest environments in the entire galaxy, but he is not a licensed social worker.
I mean, at this point in the story, he's not even really good friends with her, even.
That's the thing. Right. It's like, hey, I know I just like met you and this is crazy, but save my sister, maybe.
Right. Like, hey, we're kind of working together because we have to. We're not even really that close. I don't know if we even really trust each other yet, but let's just do this thing.
This is a good team building activity. Why don't you just get deeply involved with my family's personal matters? Can right. you imagine asking your coworker to do something along those lines months into knowing them?
Well, yeah. For Miranda, she's like obsessed about Shepard for the last 2 years, so maybe it doesn't feel that way to her. I will also say, though, it's kind of hypocritical of her. She's so professional and I'm just so put together. And then she's like, actually, wait, my clone sister really needs to be rescued. Please help me.
My clone sister. Yes, right. Yeah, my total badass clone sister, not quite as badass as I am right now. Please help.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that Miranda is kind of like the ultimate HR boss. After you defeated every boss in HR, you get to Miranda.
She's the ultimate Karen.
You're right. Yeah, I kind of went there in my head too. She's the queen Karen.
Maybe that's why I just didn't care for her loyalty mission that much. But
she has such a nice butt. Her. Didn't you notice it in all those panning shots?
Oh,
you care about her now?
No, I still
don't. I'm sorry. No, I don't.
right. No, I feel like I've probably upset some Miranda fans out there. And if I have, I don't care. No, I'm kidding. I am sorry that I upset you if my comments about her loyalty mission being lacking really struck a nerve. But I'm sure that people could attack my favorite characters too, and then I would be hurt. But
yeah, I feel like we kind of sidetracked the Kasumi conversation, though. Blunter, is there anything else specific about the Kasumi mission that makes it really stand out for you?
Yeah, I actually found myself like kind of surprisingly moved by the ending, again, considering how I'd never played through it before. That, you know, like it had kind of been implied that the person you're looking for was like might have been more than a friend, but it was kind of just a professional associate. And then like you see that slideshow go through and you're like, oh wow, okay. And then also the message from him being like, you know, like, I know you, you're going to keep this, you're going to get hung up on it. Like, I want you to delete this because I know you. And then having try and have that conversation with her, like, I was just kind of surprised for additional content, just kind of how hefty it was at points.
Mm. It was moving. It was moving because it was like, I don't know if anyone else has seen this movie, but Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It was that kind of moral conundrum of, is it better to have loved and lost or never to have loved at all? Right. And can, should you, and can you, if you can, should you willingly give up the memories of someone that you've lost? And when I say memories, I'm not saying that we're going to Kasumi's brain and rewriting things. I'm just saying these semi-tangible things where Kasumi could hold on to a person that's no longer here. The best, I guess, reference or cross-reference you can make to today's world is if you've lost someone and all you have left are photos or voicemails from them, and you hold on to them. You know, are you really, are you moving on, or are you just refusing to let go? It's not a question that anyone can tell you the answer to. It's something that you have to decide for yourself, I think. And that's what Shepard tells Kasumi. And to touch a little bit more on that, not only is Kasumi's loyalty mission a really dope James Bond type mission, it's also heavy in the sci-fi because of what you said, Blunter. I like that aspect of it too, because it's almost like cyberpunk. They're like cyberpunky aesthetic there at the end and in theme that, you know, there's this gray box where KG lives, but you know, should you get rid of it, and is that Shepard overstepping Shepard's bounds? And yeah, like the whole, like, someone's living virtually basically. Mm-hmm. And is it ending a life to tell them to get rid of them? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I appreciated the heavy sci-fi aspect of it.
Teacup?
I would be remiss to not mention that Kasumi's mission contains one of the only Dragon Age Easter eggs in all of Mass Effect. In the art vault, there is a statue of a Darkspawn ogre.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And Kasumi's loyalty mission is one of the only sources that we have to learn about the politics and history of Earth shortly before Shepard was born. So there's this gap of time where, you know, like up until the present time, at that time was like 2007 when Mass Effect 1 was released. So between 2007 and 2183, that we don't really know much about Earth's history or politics or what happened there. But there are some codex entries that come from Kasumi's loyalty mission specifically, where we do learn about that. And I can't wait to dig into that on another Lorecast episode. But there's some super interesting material there. Not going to spoil it, not going to preempt our own episode. So...
Cool. Hul, you were raising your hand too. Is there something you wanted to chime in with?
Yeah, it's off topic, but was Kasumi's DLC paid for in the beginning of Mass Effect, or was it included in like that Cerberus network thing? Like, I forgot the guy's name, Zaid.
I believe it was coupled with Zaid's content.
Yeah, it was DLC content, because I didn't originally play through it when I got the game before the DLC came out.
Yeah. Zaid's content went hand in hand with Kasumi's. I feel like Zaid should have been a Batarian, but that's a different topic for another day.
He gave off Batarian vibes, even though he was human. It probably would have fit if he was.
Yeah. So, Genesis in chat here says that it's actually not part of the Xbox Game Pass version. Kasumi's is not. I guess you only get Zaid, which is interesting that they would draw the line there. Not really sure about that. And speaking of Zaid, he had another loyalty mission where at first glance, I would be not a fan of it. I'd say it's pretty static and it's like, here's just a dude who's hell bent on revenge and that's all this is. And it is all that is, but I like the fact that Shepard can choose to do the right thing. And then if the Paragon Renegade score is high enough at the end, you can still save his loyalty. because you can get him to quote unquote see the light, which is, you know, something that you should be able to do with every person if you have that high enough or low enough or high enough Paragon or high enough Renegade score.
Get them to see the dark light.
Get them to come to the dark side or see the light.
Turn on that dark light. You know what you're going to see when that happens.
That's very, I'm getting huge Knights of the Republic vibe right now. But Sovereign, I'm so happy that you were able to make it. And so let's move on to you. What is your favorite squad mate's loyalty mission?
What is your favorite color?
Well, I was going to say Kasumi's because I found that gameplay pretty fun. And then I started sitting here thinking about all the loyalty missions and how they fit into things. And it dawned on me, I think probably my favorite one has to be Dr. Chakwa's. And the reason for that is if you're on a suicide mission, your number one priority has to be, how can I get the doctor wasted?
Dr. Chakwa's is an underrated teammate, definitely. And I feel
like it's right over like, you know, Samara saying, hey, the only way I can have a clear head on the suicide mission is if I kill my daughter. Pretty sure Shepard after that one slept with his fucking door locked.
There's a very cold killer vibe to Samara where she's just totally okay murdering her own daughter. No qualms.
Just think about that. You're Shepard and on your ship you have Jacob who killed his dad. Then you have Samara killed his daughter. Let's see, Garrus killed his next teammate. What else we got going on here? You basically just done a whole ship full of like ruthless killers.
Murderers.
Yeah.
Did Jacob kill his dad? I don't remember him killing.
Okay. No. You know, I'm wrong. Didn't he give him a gun to kill himself?
Yeah.
See, this is why I need coffee.
So but that's no, even darker.
And I was going to say, I totally agree with Morden. I think out of all 12 of them, Morden's really is the one that has the biggest impact in the story. I mean, yeah, Tally and Legion, maybe. But yeah, Morden, definitely. Because Grunt getting through his puberty doesn't really have much of an effect on the whole story as a whole.
No, not terribly, but it is fun. And puberty I do appreciate about Morden's loyalty mission that Malin is one of the most on the nose approaches to the age old philosophical conundrum of do the ends justify the means in Mass Effect. And of course, the Paragon Shep thing to say is the ends don't justify the means. But I like that the writers turned it on its head there, the whole series, because if you say the ends don't justify the means, I don't care, get rid of this data, you're not going to have the happiest ending. Like, it's pretty hard to have the happiest possible outcome if you do that. But that's good. And I think that reflects a level of reality in the game that doing the right thing is not always going to get you happy butterflies. And, you know, doing the right thing is not always going to make things the easiest for you in life. And it shouldn't. Otherwise, it would hold no value. But yeah, I do like the fact that the writers implemented very clearly a system of morality where, you know, you can choose to have that be the hill that you die on, but indeed it could be the hill that you die on.
Why do we always end up dying on hills?
You know, dying in valleys would probably suck a little more.
Yeah. I want to die on a freaking mountain.
It is the visual, right? You know, you're on the top of the hill fighting off the people coming on top.
Yeah. I understand. I just, you know, if I'm going to die on something, it's going to be a mountain.
Sovereign, do you have any loyalty missions that you detest?
Probably. Hang on. Jax really annoyed me the first time I ever did it, my very first time playing it, because I didn't realize you had to have a really high Renegade or Paragon at the end of it to keep both Jack and Miranda. I found that really annoying. Just looking at all of them now, trying to think which one I hated the most.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to answer. It's not, I don't really think any of them I really disliked.
Yeah, maybe I'm the only one with the strong dislike of Miranda's loyalty mission. But again,
that one had some it. that one had some fun interrupts. That was about it. That's all that one had going for it.
Yes, it did. It definitely perpetuated the grittiness that was present in Mass Effect 2. Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about most of the squad mates ones. You know, I have these nitpicky things that I can say, but overall, all of these squad mate loyalty missions added something to the game. I don't think that I wasted my time with any of them.
No, I agree.
And they all get all,
like Jacobs
they all get,
did.
They all get cool gear. We got that. We got that aspect, right? Well, and here's a fun question to kind of wrap things up. Who got the best gear upgrade after a loyalty mission?
Garrus. Garrus. I'm pretty sure he loses. He actually gets new armor, right? Like, it's not the one with the hole in the
it's
armor.
It's not all busted anymore.
Garrus, for sure.
I think it still has the hole, though. Like, even though it got shadowed, like, his new armor, I'm pretty sure still has the damage marks on it.
Oh, does it really? I think there's like a third outfit for Garrus. Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it was a DLC one. If you bought later on, it got rid of it.
Yeah. And then Legion doesn't really get new gear. He just gets a different paint job on his chassis, I guess is what you'd call it. Thane gets a cool outfit. His is like a little bit more badass plus sunglasses.
Yes, which makes it even cooler. I mean, everything's cooler with sunglasses.
Jack gets a cyberpunk visor.
Cyberpunk visor, you can't go wrong with that.
And a shirt.
And she actually and a gets shirt. Clothes this time.
Right. I mean, it's got to be cold on the Normandy.
In the vacuum of space.
Right. Right. And she lives like in the bottom floor, right? She lives down in like the hold.
Yeah.
So all the heat probably goes, well, I guess there's no up in space, but in my head, there's so freaking gravity though, right? So the heat would still go up to the top decks.
She's right by the core, though, like the Evo core.
Does it radiate heat?
I have no idea.
I don't know if it radiates
heat. If all the heat goes up, does that mean like Shepard's room is like a fucking boiling hot thing?
Unless Shepard's heat is set for good temperature and everything as it goes down gets colder and colder. Right? And then it's got to be freezing down there. And you're walking around with like basically suspenders covering your nipples. Like, she's got to be cold all the time.
Shepard's cabin's only boiling hot when he's in the bathroom for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what you're doing in the bathroom for an hour and a half is you're just heating everything up.
He's just vacuuming the bathroom. He's just cleaning it up.
Just cleaning. He's just cleaning for it. It's just just extensive cleaning.
You know, I have a fun question that we can just go down the line and answer real quick because it looks like we're running out of time here. But I do want to know, because it is Halloween. Mm-hmm. Happy Halloween, everyone. If you had to pick one Mass Effect squad mate to dress up as for Halloween.
Jack.
Who would it be?
Not Jack.
I was going to say Jack.
Because you save money on material?
It's an easy one. You just, you know... Get some suspenders and
suspenders.
And then that's it.
Okay. So like if making the costume wasn't a problem, if you were just right. Like, could you magic up a costume and just put it on?
Let's say that you could buy a high quality costume for each of these for like $5. So it's not a big problem.
Or someone just could just give you a costume. Right. And you just be like, oh, awesome. Cool. All right. Let's just go around. Let's go around the room. Let's go backwards. Sovereign.
Why do you have to start with me?
Because I'm going backwards.
I know. I'm still thinking here. Why do you get pressure me? I don't know. Legion, maybe?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go Legion.
All right. We got Legion. All right. Blunter?
Yeah, I was going to say Legion as well. That'd be really cool.
Two Legions. All right. Teacup?
We're not sharing.
I think I'm going to go with James because I want to see what it's like to be that buff.
Ooh. All right. Are these like foam muscles?
Yeah, I guess.
Nice. You're like a foam muscle suit. You're like, look at me.
It's the blow up muscles from that episode of SpongeBob.
Nice. All right. I like it. Vervada.
I want to dress up as Rex because I want someone to be afraid of me for once in my life. I am such a tiny, timid thing. So I want to be feared.
Aw. Would you be in a suit that you're walking on something that raises you up taller on stilts, or would you be at the bottom of the suit with like a periscope that looks up through Rex's eyes?
No, I want to be tall too, because I'm also short.
Got it.
I'm a hobbit.
Got it. So you'd be like stomping around. Got it. Cool. Cool. Hool?
I want to go with James. Guy's got a pretty nice butt. I want that butt.
Okay. Okay. All right. Again, is it, what's the butt made out of? Is it foam? Is it like blow up? Is it?
I don't know, man. Buns of steel. I'm just going to put steel right in my butt.
Right in your butt. Cool. All right. Lena?
Thane. Duh.
Yes. That would be badass. I like that nice. Idea. I like that idea. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sam?
So I was going to say Thane, but since Lena said it, I'm going to think of another one. I wish there was an Elcor squad mate. That'd be super dope. However, I think I'd have to go with Miranda.
Ooh.
Because of the free drinks. Like, I would get so many free drinks. It would be great. I want
to see you in a Miranda suit. Danny DeVolis?
I think more people would probably pay me not to wear a cat suit than to wear a cat suit.
I don't know, man.
Like Miranda.
I don't know, man. I've heard you've got a butt for it, so.
Yeah, the extra net is just ablaze about that.
All right, who would I go as? If this suit is possible, it'd be really cool to go as Morden. If it's possible. I don't know how you make that suit work, but that would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be really neat.
Well, there are a lot of different options, and I see Danny DeVolis in chat.
Danny DeVolis.
If I could go as a Volus, I totally would.
What if we could go? What if all of us could go as different bands that we've made up?
Darwin's Finches,
and like all the other ones.
The Soul System.
Yeah, I have the T-shirt. We just go as all the different bands on the shirt. That is up on the Robots Radio store. You can get to it going to robotsradio.net/store.
Mm. I think I'll do that.
Well, guys, this has been a super fun episode. Thank you for joining us again. And thank you especially for supporting the podcast. We very, very much appreciate it. And for taking the time to join us on a holiday, for being here. Hope you had a wonderful Halloween, and we'll be able to join us again next month. And let's go back through everybody, and just feel free to share anything that you are working on, any projects you have. And if you don't have anything like that, share. You can just share how people can get a hold of you, if social media, or you can even just say, hey, reach out to me on the Robots Radio Discord. Let's go back through. Lena?
Yeah, you can text me on the Discord under Lena or Trentletier.
All right. Awesome. And Hool the Fool?
You can find me on the Discord or here on Twitch, Hool the Fool, same as my username on Discord.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Go drop him a follow on Twitch. Do you stream? Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah. I've been streaming a lot lately.
Awesome. Yeah. Go drop him a follow on Twitch. And then Vervada.
Hi. Yep. I'm Vervada. I'm on the Discord, and also Genesis and I have just started a podcast with the Robots Radio Network called Two Girls, One Ship, about video game romances and analyzing them. Our first episode drops next Sunday on N7 Day.
Awesome. And what is it going to be about? What character are you talking about?
Oh, we're going to start with our all favorite girl, Liara, because she is amazing. And we want to start with a bang.
Yep. And you guys have your episode 0 up already, so people can go ahead and look you up on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on. So go ahead and look up the first episode 0 and subscribe, and then you'll be ready for when episode 1 comes out on N7 Day. So awesome. Yeah, super excited. They're new on the Robots Radio Rocket Club. They're part of our group, and we're all very excited to have them launching their show on the Robots Radio Rocket Club. So that's super fun. So good luck with all of that. That's awesome.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, then we have Teacup.
Yeah, I'm on the Discord, Teacup92. I also co-host the Dragon Age Lorecast, which you can catch on whatever catcher you're listening to this on.
Yep. Also part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club.
Yes.
Woohoo. Very cool. Yeah. Go look them up as well. If you want some more, if you love Dragon Age and want some Dragon Age lore. Yeah. Yay. And then we have Blunter.
Yeah. I mean, you can just reach me on the Discord too at Blunter.
Nice. Awesome. And then Sovereign.
I don't have much going on, but all my hate mail, you can reach me on the Discord at N7 Legend.
Nice. Yeah, be sure to send the hate mail. Any hate mail you get for this show, you can also send there.
Yep, absolutely.
That's where it all goes.
I read every letter, so don't hesitate to send it.
Yep, right there, right to him. And Sam, you got anything cool going on? Anything you want to share, buddy?
Well, I'm expecting a lot of hate mail. So my buddy that I mentioned last week, my buddy from out of town, he has gone back home. Sadly, it was very nice having him here, but that does mean that I will be streaming more now. So I will be resuming my streams this week, and I think Lena might be particularly interested to know that I've played a lot more Cyberpunk. And I'm planning on streaming some more Cyberpunk. I think my PC can handle it just fine. Well, I might have to play around with the output settings a little bit, but we'll see. But yeah, I finally made it past the name and title screen, you know, Cyberpunk 2077. Ooh. Played a couple hours after that. I have no idea how to feel about Johnny Silverhand right now. At this point, I have no idea how to feel about him. But it's very intriguing, and it's like, man, I'm dying and all this stuff. I don't know. It's awesome. The streams are going to be fun. This is my first time playing through the game. So if you'd like some genuine reaction to some of Cyberpunk's, crazy moments, and glitches, because I have run into a few more of those, then go ahead and follow me on Twitch at N7 The Legend. You can also find me on pretty much every other thing. If I have an account there, it's at N7 The Legend on Twitter too. And I won't be just streaming Cyberpunk, but of course I'm going to be trying to stream a lot more Mass Effect as well, and completing my Mass Effect 3 playthrough, which I streamed on Xbox. So I'm going to try and do that with a webcam if possible. If not, I'm just going to push through.
Cool. Well, good luck with that. That sounds awesome. I just sent you a shout out on the chat. So if you're hanging out in chat, go drop him a follow and check that out. I'm streaming every morning on twitch.tv. Nope. Psych. You guys haven't heard a psych joke in a long time, have you? I've now moved it over. My game streams, these streams, the podcast streams, still on Twitch. Game streams, I'm moving over to YouTube. Changing it up a little bit. Going to be streaming my game streams in the mornings every weekday starting around 8:30 Eastern over on the YouTube Robots Radio channel for the live streams. And there's a lot of good reasons why I'm doing it. One, no advertising. They're not going to run ads when you get into the channel. So lots of other good reasons. I'm not going to go into it now. But the big fun news is starting tomorrow morning, my game streams are going to be over there, and at 10 a.m. tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, we're going to be designing a shirt with the live stream together on stream. You guys are going to design the shirt, and I'm going to be doing the designing, but you're going to be telling me what to put on it and where to do it and how to do it. And then we're going to pick a winner who's going to get the shirt, and the shirt is going to go up on the Robots Radio store. And I have no freaking clue what this is going to look like, and it's going to be amazing. And somebody's going to get it for real and going to be able to wear it around. And if it's absolutely terrible, then it's going to be amazing. And if it looks beautiful, then it's going to be amazing. And we're just going to have to see where it goes. Other than that, we're also going to be playing games. I've been playing a lot of Back 4 Blood and a bunch of other stuff. It's going to be super fun. So I will be posting reminders and notifications other places. But it's the Robots Radio YouTube channel. You can just search it. It comes up pretty easy. And there will be a little notification here on Twitch. Don't tell Twitch that I'm doing it, but it's still going to be a little notification. So if you don't remember, there'll be a little advertisement and just kind of run and streaming over here on this channel that says, go over to YouTube. It's over there now. So come hang out with me. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that's what I've got going on. Otherwise, lots of shows, lots of Robots Radio Rocket Club shows. Go check them all out. Robotsradio.net. And thanks again for being here, everybody. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you same time next week. Until then, stay safe out in that galaxy. It's a crazy place full of lots of loyalty missions, and not all of them are created equally. We'll see you again next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at MassEffectLorecast@gmail.com.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know play D&D and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amarin. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.